Livewire with Jason Moyle.
Hello and welcome to Livewire. And on the show today, I'm very pleased to say from Redbox, we've got Simon Toulson-Clark. Hello, Simon.
Hello, very, very pleased to be here.
Brilliant. So we're going to talk about your fifth album in a minute, but let's go back a bit to where it all started for you back in 1985. But you actually started before then, and that's when you broke through in 85. I formed the band with Julian Close, didn't you?
Yes, I did. At university, we put an ad up for other musicians who wanted to jam. And from those sessions on a Wednesday night, the band kind of formed throughout about, 6 month period. It was slightly fluid lineup. In the studio, it was always a very fluid lineup in that we would invite all the best players we knew. And some of them were in other bands some of the time, and some of them were session players. Some of them were just mates who could sing well. So little community of people making the record.
So, as I said, you were a band in university, and then you broke through to the big league, basically, in August 85 with your single Lean On Me. How did that happen?
Well, that was a song that I wrote very soon after we signed with Warner Brothers. I think back in the day, you needed two things, a good song, which I think it is, and a good record company getting behind it, which I think they were. Yeah. And we were propelled into the stratosphere, really, suddenly, out of nowhere. And for a couple of years, we followed that song really around the world as it became a hit in each country. They would stagger the release so that you could be in each of those countries to promote. It was great fun, a really good time.
Yeah, and it was number one in five countries, I believe.
I think it was. I don't know. Five?
Yeah,
seven?
No, it was five countries. It stayed at number three in the UK chart for over a month as well. And I've got to say that single was very, very catchy and it kind of caught the mood of the... it was basically a summer hit, wasn't it?
It was late summer, wasn't it? It was a sort of an autumn hit.
Yes.
But I think it's a song I like to think it's still got some relevance. If you listen closely to the words, it's just about, you know, to change anything, we need to be together.
Yeah.
I still think that's as true now as it was then. Always will be.
Absolutely. And the video was nominated for a Best Video at the Brit Awards in 85 as well. And it was a quite unusual video. And it also featured sign language in it as well.
It did. Because the song is about communication and togetherness and unity, we wanted to, and essentially about language and about us losing the ability to communicate. And I think, once that's something that is so much better now, the ability that we have to communicate, you and I over the airwaves tonight, wouldn't have been possible back then with a computer.
Absolutely not. And also you followed that up very soon with another top 10 hit for America, which was, I believe, from the same album, The Circle and the Square.
It was from The Circle and the Square. Now, what happened was when we had a big hit with Lean On Me, the head of the record company then was partially complimentary and happy, but partially he was concerned that the song was a bit anti-American for America. And I think, it was sort of 80s protest song, but also it celebrated everything American in quite an affectionate way. So I think we have a love-hate relationship sometimes with the US, and particularly in those early years of the 80s, a tremendous amount was happening. And one of the other interesting things is that song took me a very long time to complete, whereas Lean On Me took me about 20 minutes to write in its entirety. So I drew no real conclusion from that, but just that sometimes you do something and you do it again and learn that there is no one way to write a song. And it's something that's fascinated me ever since, really, that magical moment and that process that we have where we suddenly feel like we're channeling something that is not just us onto a record.
That's interesting that you said that the Lean on Me was like 20 minutes, but For America was a bit longer. So how long did it take you to write?
You don't keep banging away at a song. The way it works for me is at any given time, as I have right now, I have a little songwriting archive. The format in which I've saved that over the years has changed, of course, from cassettes to now to, you know, hard drives. But I have really the sort of seeds of lots of song ideas on bits of tape all over the place and at any given time. And For America really was one of those ideas that I kept coming back to and not quite being able to clear the bar to get to the chorus. If you like, for me, songwriting is a little bit like taking a run up and leaping over the bar and into something somewhere else. I do like it when there's sort of a musical, something draws you in the musicality of it, but that it goes somewhere else at some point in the record. And I think that's sort of what I feel is a bit missing at the moment in chart music, in pop music. It's a very eclectic time, the 80s.
Yes, and as I said, the actual, your debut album was praised for as evocative lyrics and global political intelligence as well. So it was very, it's quite a deep album.
Thank you. We wanted to have our own sound. We wanted to have a recognisable sound. Everybody I loved and everyone who made me want to pick up a guitar, from the Beatles right through to Don McLean and Simon and Garfunkel, they all had a very strong sense of identity in their sound. Bowie, T-Rex, all of my favourite records. I knew the first time I heard them who they were by. And I wanted Red Box to have that quality and that identity.
Brilliant. And you followed that album up with Motive, which, and you had a single Train from that album. And then you had another album, which was another 20 years in the making, to 2010, because you kind of had a hiatus of 20 years, didn't you?
Yes, I got into record production, working with other artists, travelling around the world, a lot of the time on behalf of Warner Brothers, which had been my label, and I was like an in-house producer songwriter, helping the A&R department develop new signings and looking for new signings myself, which I still do. I still always have my ear open, and occasionally I produce other artists, and quite a few of them are young. So that's something I do like to do. And I've also begun something that's recently is teaching. I do classes on songwriting, but also just creating music. And it's particularly good for young people. It's very confidence giving and helps them solve problems and have fun in so doing.
Brilliant. And so, as I said, the third album was Plenty, which came out in 2010. And then you released another album in 2019, Chase the Setting Sun. So that was the fourth album, but now you're releasing a fifth album. And so tell us a bit about your new material.
Well, the new material at the moment, we're just going to go and play out at some small gigs around the UK. We're playing in Guildford, if I may plug our concerts.
Yes, absolutely, yeah.
On May the 1st, we're playing in Stockton on June the 1st, Leeds June the 2nd, and then I think about a month later we're in Colchester Arts. So, yeah, we're basically trying the songs out in small shows where we want to have an intimate rapport with our audience. We haven't played in the UK very often over the years. And we just want to reconnect and try some new songs out. We'll be also playing our old songs. And pretty much we'll play anything that anyone shouts out these days. So it's always a good, friendly, chatty evening.
And so is the fifth album kind of set in stone, or will it...
It's still under construction.
Okay. Because obviously you're going to play some of the songs. So if the ones with the best kind of reaction, those are the ones that like go on the album. And is that a plan? Or
at any one time, I probably have 35, 40 kind of ideas for songs, melodically, chordally, some of the lyrics. It's really about the ones that get past the finishing post first. And I think that's sometimes, you know, people say, oh, it takes us a long time to make an album. And it certainly does. But it's not really because we spend a lot of time navel-gazing in the studio. It's because I have a life outside the band, really. We all do. We all have families these days. My daughter's a very passionate and talented show jumper. So horses are a big part of her life. And I assist in that. I'm part of that. I drive the horse box. And so, you know, Red Box is something that I fit in around my other life. I like to travel.
Okay.
I like to find reasons to write songs. So, you know, you don't find us at home much. But when we are at home, we will generally be recording the material I've written when we've been off out and about.
And you mentioned your gigs and the fifth album, but you also mentioned that you've got 35 or 40 songs hanging around. So I assume there's more for a sixth and probably a seventh album in there too somewhere.
I mean, yeah, probably is. But by then there'll be, it's just how much you want to. I think it's very much down to mood. You know, one thing I've learned about my own songwriting is that if I'm in the right frame of mind and if I have been organized and sensible and intelligent enough about it, about my process, to be ready for those moments where I do feel, when I hear one of my ideas back on tape, and I think, oh, I do like this one. I think I might work a bit further on it. Those are the 2 to 3 hours when I have most of the good ideas that might make a song good enough to put on an album. You know, and I may not try that with the band immediately. It may be a month or two after I write it that we try it. So it's just a completely constantly evolving process. And I think albums tend to be the 10 that you've most recently finished. It's pretty much as simple as that. But you're quite right. Seeing the reaction live is a very key part of knowing which are the most connecting songs.
And how do you think your songwriting has developed over the years? So obviously you had a really big album in 85. How do you think your songwriting has developed over the years?
Well, I think, like a lot of things, there is something to be said for the innocence and the naivety and the passion and the energy of you. And I think we get a certain result. But there are things that you do get better at. There are things that we do accumulate knowledge about, and self-knowledge too, to make it more effective what we can do in the studio. So I think I'm a more knowledgeable musician, obviously with these years of not always succeeding, you know, and actually not quite getting it right is very much part of occasionally pulling one off that really does work and connect with people.
It's been brilliant talking to you, Simon, and before we go, there's two things. One is, can you tell us if you've got any social media or websites that people could get in contact with you?
Yeah, of course. You'll find us on Facebook. If you search Red Box Band, three words, Red Box Band, you'll find us there. Details of our shows coming up in the next 2-3 months, and we're doing some festivals in Europe, so all those details will be there, and also you will have links to the website. So, yeah, it's all there.
And the second question is, can you choose one of your hit records? Which one would you like to play?
One of the two records?
Or you could choose another one if you want.
But can I choose two? Because I do, you know, I'm proud of the hit ones, and I know you probably will play them anyway as part of this portion of your show.
Right.
So maybe I would ask, perhaps, if you were going to play a recent song, to play one called Ho Ho.
Okay.
And then perhaps a slightly sort of mid-career song, then that would give people the story, wouldn't it? So the first one maybe should come from our third album. That could be, let's say, Hurricane.
Okay. So we're going to play Ho Ho and Hurricane. Many thanks to you, Simon, and good luck with the gigs and good luck with the fifth album.
Thank you, mate. Take care.
Thank you. I could bail out. Yeah, I could sail out this place. Or I could fold up. I could be holed up in space. Be a pretender. I would surrender with grace. I could be hiding. But I'd rather. Yeah.
write it back again. You tell a story how you want to be. In the narrative I look for me. Every beat my heart is in your mouth. You drink me in and then you spit me out. Now I know what I've been waiting for. It's clear to me that I need nothing.
Livewire is produced by Steve Osborne Media. Steve Osborne Media.